continuing our conversation here at the Urban Farm. Hope you all had a wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving. And we are right in the middle of a conversation on creating a backyard food forest with Urban Farm Greg Peterson. And Farmer Greg, I kind of deterred you off of your talking points, but I want you to go ahead and finish that. We were talking about planting in a triangle and, you know, create, you know, can you plant too close? You sounded like I'm very interested. Continue, please.
All right. This is, you know, usually when we plant trees close together, it's because you don't have a whole lot of space. For people that have a lot of space, if you're going to plant in a hedgerow, so you want a row like oleanders that looks like oleanders. I have here on the property, I have citrus, apples, and mulberries that grow in rows. So if you're going to grow in rows, 5 feet from trunk to trunk is a very good distance. If you have a lot of space in your yard and you don't want to grow in rows, 10 feet apart on the fruit trees is a really good distance apart on them. But what I was talking about before the break was Dave Wilson, nursery. They're a grower in Northern California and talk a lot about this whole notion of backyard orchard culture. They talk about planting multiple trees in one hole. And what that looks like is you dig a triangle hole rather than a round hole. In fact, we've even transitioned to digging square holes, but you dig a triangle hole and put the trees in trunk to trunk 18 inches apart. And your original question was, do the roots have a problem? And they don't. They just kind of grow through the space. But then what happens with that triangle is you have, in a triangle, you have three trees 18 inches apart. And over time, what they do is they grow out as bushes and they look like one tree. They look like one plant, but they have three different varieties of peaches. And let's talk about peaches. Three different varieties of peaches that ripen at different times. We call this successive ripening, where, you know, you plant a desert gold peach and it ripens in mid-May, a Soise swirl peach that ripens the second week of June, and a mid-pride peach that ripens the last week of June. So basically what you're getting is you're getting 6 or 8 weeks of peaches off of these three trees rather than one tree in the same space that gives you all your peaches at once.
And I do love our peach trees and always enjoy canning them, and you have them year-round, but that is the one thing that keeps coming back to citrus. Is such like a miracle fruit because it'll stay ripe on the tree for months. Peaches, yes. You've got a two-week time frame to get those harvested, and then that's it.
Yep.
So I like that successive ripening, so you can continue to work around the tree as the time goes. And if you know that and you're planning that, you know, that gives you a lot more success in, you know, building up that, you know, your canned peaches instead of having to kill yourself in a 2 week time frame because you planted three fruit trees of the exact same variety that are all ripe now. Well,
exactly.
If you just spaced it out a little bit with different varieties that ripen at different time, there's a perfect solution to that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can run into successive ripening with citrus because there are citrus that will actually be ripe and available to pick off of the tree 8-10 months a year. You know, I just harvested my first navel orange on Thanksgiving Day. That's always a happy day for me because I eat navel oranges like mad. And the navel oranges will stay on the trees for 60 days. And really, they're still good when I'm harvesting them after 60 days, just because I've eaten them all, but they're still good on the tree. And then what comes immediately after them are Trovita oranges, which are navel-like oranges, which are usually ripe in, you know, late January, February, and March, and even into early April. And then there's the Arizona Sweet. So if you want, you know, if you want oranges for 6 months a year, plant a Caracara navel, a Trovita orange, and a Arizona sweet, and you've got 6 months worth of citrus right there.
And you can get all this information if you were trying to grab a pen and write that down and remember it all at rosieonthehouse.com/radio. Click on today's date and you can get the podcast or listen individually to the segments. Gary does both a great job of having audio clip of the individual segments with the keywords. So if you were just looking for something specific, or you can click on the link and get the entire hour in a podcast. So yeah, we've got, I've got to get us back on track here, because we, as always, we go down multiple different bunny trails because it's a fun topic.
Let me jump in, because I have a point that we need to make here. When you're designing your food forest, and forests aren't one layer, you know, they're not one kind of tree or one height of tree. So when you're designing your food forest, one of the first things I want you to start looking at is what kind of shade can you plant that over time will help shade your yard, especially here in the, you know, in the heat in the summertime. And I'm a big fan of native mesquites, because the beans are edible, native Palo Verdes, and native ironwood trees, all of which can grow tall, provide a mottled shade. They're not a dense shade. So that's really one of the first things you want to be doing when you start designing your edible landscape, is thinking how I can get some trees planted that over the course of the next 5 to 15 years will provide shade in my yard, shade on my house. And one of the things I suggest people do all the time is go to Google, go to a search engine, type in, what does a mature native mesquite look like? And it'll give you pictures of what, you know, what a mesquite tree looks like and what you could expect if you, you know, you can grow them out as bushes, or you can grow them out as single tree trunks. So one of your tools in helping you design your space is the search engine pictures on Instagram and on, you know, on Google and all those, to see what your ultimate outcome is going to be.
And you could also take a hike. That's always a good suggestion too.
Right.
And there might be a lot of us that might need the extra exercise right now.
You can. Exactly. Well, and you know, go ahead.
I was saying, Arizona State Parks website, you could find it a lot of places. Maricopa County Parks and Rec, Pinal County Parks and Rec, Desert Botanical Gardens, you know, and then just take pictures. The one hard thing about going out and seeing it is, if you're new to Arizona or you don't know what plants you're looking at, you take the pictures. Well, then you got to find somebody to tell you, what is this I'm looking at?
Yeah, exactly.
But seeing it out in nature really helps. In the whole design process.
Big time. Well, and here's the other thing. And, you know, sometimes my head's a little dense, and it took me a good 15 years to get the aha on this one. And that is, walk around your neighborhood. See what's working in your neighborhood already and start to replicate that.
Aha. That is a good idea.
Right? You know, because, you know, where you're out in, you know, way out in the West Valley is a different microclimate, a different space than where I'm at here at 16th Street and Bethany Home.
And you're on an irrigated lot. We're not. That has a lot of its own microclimates.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So definitely go walking in your neighborhood and see what's actually working. You know, we have in our neighborhood, we have some wild jujubes. You know what a jujube is?
Just from you.
Oh, okay, good. Besides the candy that you buy at the grocery store, a jujube is a tree that grows a fruit that's kind of in the realm of a date. They call them Asian dates, and they're spongy and sweet and chewy. And so, you know, in my neighborhood, we have them growing wild.
Interesting.
And yeah. So just go out in your neighborhood and pay attention to what's going on there. That will help you a lot in the designing of, you know, an edible landscape for your yard.
And then we've got to get to soil. One of the things that you often address is the lack of nutrients in our native soil. It's just basically dirt. We've got a lot of dirt. So the successfulness of your fruit forest all comes back to what you can do with the soil. And it's not something that just happens overnight.
Right. Well, and we've got some jump starts for you that you could, you know, that within a week or two, you could get some of that going on. One of the things that I do garden consults with people on the phone. And when I'm looking at somebody's yard and it's just dirt, I had one of these yesterday or the day before. One of the things that I suggest is that you put down 8 to 12 inches of woody mulch. Just chipped up. They sell it in bags. We have it at our nursery. If you're going to, you know, if you've got a large space, there's an organization out there called Chip Drop that will drop a 20 to 30 cubic yard load in your driveway. Arizona Worm Farm, they'll deliver woody mulch. They sell it to you. And what that woody mulch does, is that what you're wanting to know?
Well, no, I was just going to mention for anyone listening, a couple weeks ago when we had our arborist, John Eisenhower, and he just mentioned on Chip Drop, just know the one thing about that is you can't control what you get. The arborists are out there, they chip up the trees that they're pruning, trimming, cutting down, and then they come and drop it at your home. So if you don't care what you get, if you don't care about the consistency, because a lot of times they're not worried about the consistency, you know, when they're doing this, they're getting their job done. And instead of then taking that chipped to the landfill, they can drop it at your home. So if you don't care about what type of wood chips, which it really doesn't matter in this case, unless you're trying to do something decorative, but for growing, it doesn't matter. And consistency doesn't matter. So both of those applications don't matter. But if you're also doing it for aesthetic looks in the front yard, that might be the time that you're then calling the Worm Farm or, you know, a professional landscape supply company, and you're actually selecting your consistency, your color, your type.
Yeah, exactly. And so the woody mulch, basically what happens at the interface between the woody mulch and the dirt is very quickly it starts breaking down. The woody mulch acts like a sponge. The, you know, the soil life shows up, even worms maybe show up. And, you know, within 6 months, you've got a good couple inch layer of healthy soil at the bottom of that woody mulch. And remember in our first segment, I talked about the most important thing that you can do is build healthy soil. And our dirt here in the desert is highly compacted. The water can't get in. It's lacking organic matter and it's lacking life. And the solution to all that is to add lots and lots of organic matter.
And woody mulch is a great example of that. You've got a couple other things that you can add as well, but we'll cover those on the other side of this break, our final segment with Farmer Greg here at Rosie on the House, right after this.